Hey, hey, mama, said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove. Ah, child, the way you shake that thing gonna make you burn, gonna make you sting.
What many people don't know is that's the original instrumentation as envisioned by Robert Plant and Jimmy Page and the other guys in Led Zeppelin. This is the version done right, I think, by my next guest, Barley Scotch, and his buddies in the group Hayseed Dixie. Barley, welcome back to the Paul Harris Show.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me back on. How you been?
It's always a pleasure. How many years has it been since we first met? Is it like 4 or 5 years?
I think about 5 years.
Yeah.
It don't seem like it's been that long. I mean, I actually have a hard time remembering last night sometimes, let alone you. But, yeah, it's been about that. Yeah, 2001 is when our first record came out.
Wow, and that was a tribute to AC/DC.
That's the one. That's the one that got it kind of all started. That was, you know, when we first discovered that you really could do rock and roll tunes in a bluegrass type of style.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with Hayseed Dixie, let's have you go back and explain a little bit of history about how you guys from Deer Lick Holler became, I guess we'd have to call you hillbilly rock stars.
Yeah, rockgrass. Yeah, that's what we've kind of started calling the music. We're all from a little place called Deer Lick Holler, sort of up on the Tennessee-North Carolina line there. And it's a pretty isolated place, you know. It's not really on the way to anything, so we don't get a whole lot of outside influence, really. But we just all kind of grew up playing, you know, traditional hillbilly music, songs about drinking and cheating and killing and hell, and what, you know, the stuff that you sing about in the old bluegrass. One day this fella come through town, though, and he wrecked his car right on what we call the Devil's Elbow Curve there and into a big oak tree. And the tree's still there now, but the stranger didn't quite survive the impact. But we got to going through his car to see if we could figure out who he was and to, you know, see what he had in there. And we found this stack of these black vinyl records in the car, see? And they was AC/DC albums, kind of like what y'all used to play on radio stations.
Yep.
Big old black vinyl albums. So we took them back to the Dick Troll and gave them a spin, and that's when it became revealed to me, man, that lost highway of Hank Williams and Highway to Hell that boy was singing about, that they were the same road, you know? And so we just sort of set about to learning some of those songs and playing them along with the rest of the stuff we'd always been playing until a fella from a record label came up and asked us to record versions of them. And once again, we didn't really think anything of it until a lot of the radio stations started playing it. And like I say, that was a little over 5 years ago, and now we're putting out our fourth album and been touring the world, man. So it just goes to show that you never can tell.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm so happy for your success. By the way, did the first album, did it go platinum or what?
No, it's done about 150,000 pieces in the United States. I think you got to get 500,000 to be gold.
So what do they call it when it's 150,000? Is there a level for that, like lead? Did you go lead?
We've been calling it copper.
Well, congratulations for that. Now, album number 4 is out, and it's called Hot Piece of Grass.
Right. Exactly.
And now, before we talk about this particular album, you mentioned that you've been touring around the world. Where have you been, and what's the reaction been?
Well, let's see. For about the past 16 months, we've hardly seen U.S. soil, actually. I'll run it down for you. We've been to Australia and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And New Zealand's really nice, man. It's really mountainy. If you've ever seen that, like, Lord of the Rings movie, it actually looks a lot like that.
Uh-huh.
Big kind of volcanic mountains jutting up out of the ocean. It's an island, so everybody there is into sailboats and fishing and stuff. And we like fishing, so we got along real good with them. Yeah, in some regards, it's kind of like going back in time several years. I mean, heck, we don't even use rotary phones in Deer Lick Holler anymore, but they do in New Zealand. Everywhere you went was one of them rotary dial phones.
Huh.
I'm serious. I mean, things were just really kind of, they reminded me of, you know, what you see on the Waltons TV show or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of a step back in the history, in kind of a quaint, cool kind of way. They were real friendly people. Australia was nice. It was different. It reminded me a lot of Southern California, really. I mean, kind of sandy beaches and palm trees.
But I know there's one thing that you and the Australians have in common, which is an enormous taste for beer.
Well, you know what? The biggest drinkers in the world really ain't the Australians or the New Zealanders, man. The biggest drinkers are in Scotland.
Oh, you were there, too?
Oh, yeah. I hadn't gotten that far. It turns out, man, that Scotland, well, the UK in general, really. Scotland, England, Wales, you know, has turned out to be like, you know, per capita, probably our best market in the whole world. And the only thing I can account to it is we've always said that we tried to play songs that were fun to play while you were drinking your beer or two, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that we figured that way, chances are other drinkers would enjoy listening to us play them. There are more drinkers per capita in the UK than I think I've ever met. They drink really good beer, man, that good heavy ale. And they also have some mighty fine whiskey, all that single malt scotch whiskey they make over there. In fact, it's my personal contention that that's where we got our bourbon, really. It's the same recipe, basically. They just make theirs out of malted barley, and we make ours out of corn, because when, I guess, the people come over here, corn's what there was plenty of, just growing everywhere. And, you know, you use what you got.
Right.
but I'm really inclined to think that that's where the whole recipe came from, because other than that, man, the recipes are identical.
Well, I'll take your word for it, since you guys know a little bit more about drinking than I do. After all, you're the only band that I've seen where when you lay out your stage plot for where the mics and monitors and instruments are going to go, there's also a special section set aside for the beer cooler.
Oh, yeah, it's back where the drummer would normally be in most bands. We don't have a drummer, see? We got Deacon Dale Reno on the mandolin, Reverend Don Wayne Reno on the banjo. You don't need no dadgum drummer. There ain't really a drummer out there that can play fast enough to keep up with them boys anyway. But we started printing the stage plot in the album just so that hopefully the crew and people would get it. I mean, it's a pretty simple rider. The word rider, for anybody not in the business, that's what you send out ahead of your show before you show up to tell them what you want to have, you know, like if you want food or whatever. All we ask for is two cases of beer and enough ice to keep it cold. And you'd be surprised how many people can screw that up. So we started printing it up on the inside of the CD there. If anybody buys a new one, they'll get to see exactly what all the production crews see. It's the real stage plot. We didn't put it in there for a joke or anything.
All right, stand by for just a second here, Barley. I got to do a quick bit of business. Then we'll come back and play a little bit more off the new album, the new Hayseed Dixie album, A Hot Piece of Grass, and talk more with lead singer Barley Scotch here on the Paul Harris Show.
I'm not fooling. I'm gonna send you back to school.
Here's a little bit more of Hayseed Dixie off the new album, A Hot Piece of Grass. I don't want to make it sound like the whole album is a Led Zeppelin tribute album, but you got a couple of them on there, and also a little Black Sabbath, Barley.
Yeah, we did a version of that there War Pigs song. As I say, we spent so much time running around the UK and stuff and listening to the radio over there. We heard all kinds of new songs that we never had heard before, and that was one of them.
There's great stuff on here. Now, I got to ask you a question, because you mentioned it's you and the Reno brothers. That makes three.
Right, and then we got some bass player we carry around with us on the road.
Oh, that's why there's a picture of four guys here.
Yeah.
And the back end of a horse. The back end of the horse doesn't travel with you.
No, well, that's just because on the front cover of the record, we just got a picture of a woman's behind.
Uh-huh.
But in order to give equal time to other members of the animal species kingdom, you know, we put the horses behind on the back of
uh-huh.
the record, just for people who are into such things. Me, personally, I respected the horse's privacy, but Deacon Dale Reno checked it out, and he assures us that it was a female horse, in case anybody cares.
I understand. And speaking of the Reno brothers, they actually have a link to one of the great bluegrass songs of all time, don't they?
Well, yeah, we did a version on this record of that Doolin Banjo's tune, because their daddy co-wrote it way back in like the mid-1950s.
Yeah, I didn't know it went back that far. I thought it was written for Deliverance.
No. It was actually originally called Feudin' Banjos. Him and a fellow named Arthur Smith did a version of it in, like, I think, 1956. That sounds right. Don Wayne could tell you the exact day, but it's way back in the mid-50s. And it wasn't really a big hit or anything, but then somebody used it in that Deliverance movie, and they called it Doolin' Banjos. And so it became real famous. It's a darn shame it had to be for that movie, though, because I really don't like that movie very much.
Oh, no?
I think it kind of misrepresents us. I guess what I'm saying is, I think it kind of makes us look bad.
Uh-huh. Well, I can understand that. It wasn't exactly the most hillbilly-friendly movie.
Well, no. I mean, what I'm trying to say is it makes us look sloppy. I mean, if that movie was realistic, let me just say it like this. If that movie was realistic, I mean, none of those characters would have ever made it out of there to ever tell that story. We are way better shots than that, y'all. I mean, I can drop a buck from about 350 yards away with a 30-06. I ain't going to miss no Ned Beatty. Oh, boy. I mean, and also, when you got a good-looking young Burt Reynolds, even if I was inclined in that direction, I wouldn't pick the big fat guy when I got a young Burt Reynolds I can go get.
I understand.
If that's what I was into, it's not. I'm kind of into the ladies, but I'm just saying if you're a fella who inclines toward other fellas, as it appears that those characters in that movie were, that you'd go for Bert. I mean, the whole thing's just a whole bunch of fabrication, you know?
Well, it's not.
Obviously, all designed to make us look incompetent and inept.
Well, it's not a documentary, Barley.
No, I know, but it's a pure piece of fiction. People ought to realize that's all I'm saying.
Okay, I got you.
It just hit the soft spot with me because I take a lot of pride in being a good shot with a rifle, and when they start insinuating that us hillbillies can't shoot, it's making me mad.
So
anyway, I digress. We can talk about something else.
Well, I was just going to ask if you're coming to St. Louis, because I'm sure once you got a new album, you got to go back out on tour.
Oh, yeah. We really are looking forward to playing some dates in the U.S. again. Not that we hadn't had a good time kicking around Europe and Australia and all that. We have, but after a while, you start kind of missing home. I just found out today, actually, that I think we're going to be playing. It's Thursday, the 30th of March. In St. Louis, and I'm not exactly sure where. It's probably going to be at that Blueberry Hill Duck Room again, just because we've done that several times.
Yeah, but that's a great room for you.
Yeah, it's a cool place, and we've always had a good crowd there. It's easy to get to, and people seem to like to see us play there because they always keep coming out and selling it out. I think the last three or four we've sold out, so anybody wants to come might check on it and make sure it's there and go ahead and get a ticket because seems like it fills up pretty quick. I think it only holds about 350 or something. But.
Well, you know, I will definitely be there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, it's always a good party, man. You got to bring them spoons down.
I'll play some spoons this time on stage.
You got to do it.
I didn't get a chance to do it last time. But when you do come through town, you know, bring the boys into the studio, and we'll have some fun on the air that day.
Man, I'd love to. I mean, you moved over to a different station now, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Been here about a year and a half.
See, it's been about that long since we put anything out in the States.
Well, yeah. You've been on the road so long, I had to make a move.
I'm glad it worked out good for you. Oh, I got to tell you, too, just speaking of running around Europe, we ran all over Ireland, and that was pretty fun. Especially the northern part of it. It gets mountainy up there. Scotland's got the best drinkers, especially on the Shetland Islands. My Lord, them people drink their faces off. Norway's got the prettiest women if you like blondes. Big, tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls with nice bodies that say yah a lot. Now, if you're into the dark-eyed, dark-haired kind of Salma Hayek look, you need to go to Spain. Fine women in Spain. And everything in Spain is cheap, man. I mean cheap. You walk into a bar and you can get you a beer for like €1. That's like $1.20.
Wow.
Of course, you don't have any selection. You're just having beer. You walk in, they got one kind. Just beer on the tap. I'm serious. You go into the supermarket to get some soap and you buy soap. You don't have six different brands. You got soap.
That's it. All right, we'll talk more when you come back through town. In the meantime, good luck with the new album. It's called A Hot Piece of Grass. Is it out there in stores now?
It's supposed to be. It's supposed to have come out just this past Tuesday.
All right, well, if you can't find it, you can go to my website, harrisonline.com, and I've got a link where you can buy it off of Amazon. Barley, it's always...
If you go to Amazon, make sure you buy the right one. They've got two of them listed up there, and I don't know what's the matter with these Amazon people, but one of them is the import from the UK, and it's like $28 or something. You got to scroll down and find the one that ain't the import.
I will make sure I've got the right link on there so we send people to the right place.
I don't know what's the matter with Amazon. We've been complaining at them saying, get it together, boys. We don't want anybody to pay too much for the records, what I'm trying to say.
Barley, it's always a pleasure having you on. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Barley Scotch, lead singer from Hayseed Dixie here on the Paul Harris Show. Oh, there's a little bit of dueling banjos. That is their version of it, last cut on the new album. Pretty cool to be able to record that a half century after your dad wrote it. Hayseed Dixie, new album's called Hot Piece of Grass, as in bluegrass, here on the Paul Harris Show.